What is up? It's The Rant. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Friday, November 20th, also known as Taysom Hill Day. Oh, yeah, we'll get into it. That news officially broke fantasy Twitter today. But we'll talk about Taysom Hill coming up in a minute. We'll break down all of the games for you on the remainder of the slate here for Week 11 Fantasy Football. First, let me tell you about our presenting sponsor, Monkey Knife Fight. Do you like to play daily fantasy sports? Well, you need to go check out MonkeyKnifeFight.com. MonkeyKnifeFight.com is the fastest growing daily fantasy site in the world because MonkeyKnifeFight.com is different than the other daily fantasy sites. That's because on MonkeyKnifeFight.com, there are no salary caps. You don't have to play against sharks, and that means anyone has a chance of winning, even you. MonkeyKnifeFight.com has tons of fun daily contests in all the sports you love: baseball, basketball, hockey, golf, UFC, NASCAR, WNBA, esports, and of course, football. Monkey Knife Fight has it all, and you know what else? MonkeyKnifeFight.com has a free $5 game for you just for signing up. And if you use the promo code RANT, R-A-N-T, you'll have your first deposit matched instantly up to $50 with a name like MonkeyKnifeFight.com. You can be pretty certain you know what you're going to be getting when you sign up to play Monkeys and Knives and Fights and Sports. Sign up and play today at MonkeyKnifeFight.com. Play to MKF and win. State and age restrictions apply. See site for full terms and restrictions. Here's the deal. I've said it before. I will say it again. If you like player prop bets, this is a game for you. It's not exactly the same, but the principle is very close, and I think you're going to enjoy it. So go check it out, especially if you're in a state where sports betting isn't legal. This is a really cool alternative in the format of a DFS game. So go check it out. Use the promo code RANT. And it's for all the different sports, too. So I think it's, you know, it's versatile, especially with basketball about to start back up relatively soon. Sooner than, I mean, it's just weird, man, this offseason. Anyway, good problem to have. All right, so let's talk about the matchups. I don't want to bury the lead. I want to talk about Taysom Hill right out of the chute. So it was announced earlier today that Taysom Hill will be the starter for the New Orleans Saints, not Jameis Winston. And according to Adam Schefter, there aren't even packages in there. He was actually citing Diana Rossini, but no packages in there for Jameis Winston. So what does that mean for Jameis? It means he's the backup, and that's it. And it's not a 75-25 or anything like that. Like, Taysom has an opportunity here. And I may have mentioned this on the podcast. If not, I know I talked about it on my radio show. About a little over a year ago, I did speak to somebody in the know who told me that Sean Payton had said to him, my source, that Taysom's his guy. So this doesn't really shock me. This is a full-scale audition for Taysom Hill for the future. And so this creates, this created a pandemonium on social media today. This literally broke while I was on air today. So made for a fun radio show, I'll be honest with you. But it has allowed me to unpack this a little bit. And there's a lot of moving parts. So let me address the elephant in the room first and foremost. So if you play on ESPN, Taysom Hill has been tight end eligible the entire season. Now, ESPN did add quarterback eligibility to Taysom, but he has kept the tight end eligibility. And, you know, I used to work at ESPN years ago, about 5 years ago, and I can tell you, I know the policy. The internal policy at ESPN is pretty simple. Once you give a player a position, you don't take it away. Now, Field Yates over at ESPN did say on Twitter today that he has tight end eligibility this week, but they will certainly evaluate things for Week 12. So this could be the rare exception. I imagine it's going to be really fun to be on customer service for ESPN Fantasy right now. Oh my God. Because I know there are leagues who are they're losing their minds about Taysom Hill starting as a tight end. So my initial take here, in terms of your league, if you can start him as a tight end, you should start him as a tight end unless your league has a rule that prevents that. I know of at least one league, somebody has tweeted me about this, said, we ran into this years ago, and what we do is we use the team position designation. So if New Orleans calls him a quarterback, then he's a quarterback. You cannot start him at tight end. That's their league rule, though. So they voted on that and everything. Otherwise, all's fair. And what's crazy here is, you know, I had talked about on Wednesday starting Taysom as a tight end, even in a limited role, because you could get a guy who could touch the ball a bunch. Now you're starting a guy who can throw for 200-plus passing yards, maybe throw for one or two touchdowns, and run for, what, 40 or 50 yards and possibly a touchdown at tight end. This is crazy, but get this. Taysom Hill is the number one fantasy tight end on ESPN. He's the number one fantasy tight end on ESPN. Yes, that is correct. I would start him over Travis Kelce. That's crazy, but it's real. I'm hearing from people that he is a wide receiver on Flea Flicker. He's an automatic start as a wide receiver if you play on that format. Also on FanDuel, he is a tight end. He's going to be like 95% owned, but not on every site. So if you play on Yahoo, no dice. If you play on like My Fantasy League, no dice. You know, he's a quarterback most other places. So what do you do with him in those instances? And I do think that with Taysom Hill, you should be using him at basically where you had Jameis. You know, I redid projections. Now, I don't have him thrown for as many yards. It's still a favorable matchup, but nowhere near as many yards as Jameis. But I have him rushing for significantly more. So it's like you balance it out. I have him at 13 right now. So just to sort of list that off, because I know this is going to be a question and I don't want this out there, you know, with ambiguity if you're facing these sorts of decisions. Who would I start over him? I mean, the obvious suspects, I mean, we already started Kyler and Russell Wilson, so yeah, whatever. You wouldn't have done that anyway. Patrick Mahomes, yes. Lamar Jackson, yes. Ben Roethlisberger, yes. Justin Herbert, yes. Deshaun Watson, yes. Matt Ryan, yes. Aaron Rodgers, yes. And I'll have an update on that in a little bit. Cam Newton, yes. Tom Brady, yes. Carson Wentz, maybe. Me personally, I would start Carson Wentz ahead of him. I wouldn't talk you out of it if you said you were going to go with Taysom. So that puts him at 12 or 13. For me, after that, Joe Burrow, no. Derek Carr, no. Tua Tagovailoa, no. Alex Smith, no. Ryan Tannehill, no. Kirk Cousins, no. Like, now you're starting to understand, right? So hopefully that answered your question, so you don't even have to ask it. But really, I mean, he's a streamable option this week. In two quarterback/superflex leagues, he is an absolute QB2. You're starting, unless you have a spoil of riches, and in which case, whatever. I'd rather have him on my bench than in my opponent's starting lineup. But that's where we are with that. It is a nice matchup. There's no doubt about it. But I just wanted to unpack that first and foremost. If you spent money on Jameis Winston, unfortunately, you wasted your money. Unless Taysom gets hurt, which could happen. It's 2020 after all. So that's the big one in that game. I will also say that, you know, it's a tough matchup for Kamara. Who cares? This is actually good for Kamara, by the way, because I have confidence that Taysom can check down. I have confidence that Taysom can throw the ball to Michael Thomas. I didn't have confidence that Jameis could do that because all Jameis does is look downfield. And it's all he's ever done. So, believe it or not, not that bad. Now, Taysom could be a disaster. We'll see. But the chance that he puts up big numbers and you can start him at tight end is kind of crazy. So there you go. On the other side, Todd Gurley. The matchup is at least worth noting. So New Orleans is one of just three teams to surrender under 100 scrimmage yards per game to opposing backfields. They are actually the worst fantasy matchup for the position. So Gurley, you're just hoping he scores a touchdown, but that's pretty much every week for him. He's an RB2 play. I'm not going to get too cute there. Philly and Cleveland, I mentioned Carson Wentz. I mean, is Carson Wentz a broke back for me now? I wish I knew how to quit you, Carson Wentz. I feel like I just keep going back to the well and maybe, well, all right, let's put it this way. If it doesn't happen this week, the famous words. If it doesn't happen this week, yeah, it's not going to happen. And I'll give you up, Carson Wentz. But I'm giving you one more try, baby. One more try. It's the number 11 fantasy matchup. Opposing signal callers averaging two passing scores per game against the Brownies. I like the Dallas Goedert's out there, and I don't think people should be disappointed by last week with Dallas Goedert, by the way. He played 62 of 67 snaps, saw six targets. I mean, rock solid TE1 play. I would start Taysom Hill ahead of him. I'd start Taysom Hill ahead of everybody, by the way. I think I said that if I said Kelce. So anyway, on the other side, Nick Chubb, man, I'm never going to get over that. Nah, I kid. I had no Nick Chubb. Like, people are commenting on my little rant about, you know, just score the darn points. They're like, oh, all you care about is your fantasy points. No, actually, I had no Nick Chubb. Not in DFS, not in season long. I had no wagers, nothing. It was just simply, it drives me nuts. But anyway, the matchup's relatively tough here. Philly is the seventh worst fantasy matchup. They're allowing 3.4 yards per carry to opposing backfield, so it's not the best for Chubb and Hunt, but they're such a huge part of what that team does that they're both fringe RB1s. You're playing them both. Moving on to Cincinnati and Washington, Joe Mixon will not play, so we get another week of Giovanni Bernard. He had a tough one last week in a tough matchup, and I don't want to just simply say that Washington's a pushover, because they're not. You know, they're the number 24 matchup for the position. Now, you can run on them a little bit, but see, Giovanni Bernard's better in the passing game, right? Opposing backfields are averaging just 3.6 receptions per game against Washington, which is one of the lowest in the league. So Bernard's more of a mid-range RB2, which is fine. The football team also allowing the second fewest net passing yards per game. How about that? 214 per game. So this is not the week to stream Joe Burrow, as I sort of alluded to earlier when I went through the Taysom Hill list. On the other side, love the matchup for the run game. Cincinnati, one of just two teams to allow 5 yards per carry or over 5 yards per carry to opposing running backs. Antonio Gibson, and he's a top 12 player for me this week. Had 17 touches last week. I give up with the McKissick thing. I mean, I wanted to push back because, you know, logical thinking that he wouldn't be a consistent high volume passing target, but he is. So whatever, let's use it. I'm not going to be that stubborn. You know, I know I'm stubborn. You know I'm stubborn. Everybody knows I'm stubborn. All right, whatever. But I'm going to use him as an RB2. Alex Smith is kind of interesting. I'm going to have some DFS lineups with Alex Smith. He threw for 390 passing yards, had no touchdowns last week, but the Bengals allowed 2.3 passing scores per game. That's second most in the league. So I could see in fact, I'll give you a little tease. On CBS Sports Network on Sunday morning on that other pregame show, I'm going to actually talk about Alex Smith stacked up with Terry McScorin and a game stack on the other side with Tyler Boyd. I don't mind it. It's kind of sneaky, sneaky. You could use Alex Smith in two quarterback super flex leagues. I think he slides in there as like a mid-range quarterback too. Detroit, Carolina, no DeAndre Swift, the concussion. I figured the way that it works is you have to get a non-contact and a full contact in order to clear the protocol. Like, there's multiple steps, and those are some of the steps. So to be placed in the protocol on a Thursday and not practice, you're not going to complete those steps with only one practice left in the week. So it's not a surprise that he is not playing. So it'll be Kerryon Johnson, Adrian Peterson. It's such a great matchup, but I can't trust either one of those guys against his Carolina defense. No Christian McCaffrey this week, so I know Mike Davis is really lackluster for a lot of people, but he's an RB1 play here. The Lions are one of just three teams to see more than 26 running back rushing attempts per game. They're the number one matchup for the position. So I know last week didn't look good, but I'm going back to the well with him. And this isn't a broke back thing. Teddy Bridgewater looking very iffy. We could see PJ Walker. They're holding out hope that Teddy plays, but usually that's not a good sign. So PJ Walker played at Temple University. I talked a little bit about it yesterday. The little connection there with Robbie Anderson. I think Robbie Anderson's kind of a sneaky cheat code type player because they do have that long-lasting connection there going back to their college days. But, you know, PJ Walker has enough upside to be in the two quarterback conversation. I think he's like right on the edge for me of QB2 territory, so you could potentially use him. He's got some juice as a runner, which I think is appealing. Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, James Conner, I'm going to give him one more try. Like, he's like the running back version of Carson Wentz for me right now. We've seen, you know, flashes, more than just flashes this season, but then recently the track record has not been very good. But the matchup is so freaking good. It's so freaking good against this team. Fifth most fantasy points per game. I'm going to go back to the well. The Jags are also a really good passing matchup. 8.6 yards per attempt, number three matchup for quarterbacks. So, yeah, Big Ben, giddy up. I have been asked, would you start multiple Steelers wide receivers in your season-long leagues? Ordinarily, it's advice that you would say no, but I'm saying yes this week. And I said yes last week, and it worked out. On the other side, it's a tough matchup for James Robinson. The Steelers only allowing 17.7 PPR points per game to backfields, second fewest in the league. But James Robinson has really done nothing to dissuade us from using him, so I'm going to use him. I'm going to temper expectations for DJ Chark in this one. And it's not just for Chark, but it's really because of Jake Luton. It's a tough matchup. The Steelers, 237.7 net passing yards allowed per game. And man, Jake Luton he's going to be in over his head. So DJ Chark's a wide receiver three. I think you could start him for sure, but I just don't want to get too carried away. Likewise, I mean, hey, let's not get carried away with Ryan Tannehill. I don't think anybody will against Baltimore. He is a low upside quarterback too, and this is a tough matchup. AJ Brown is going to play, by the way, but the matchup is bad, so he's more of a wide receiver too. He's like touchdown dependent. On the other side, Lamar Jackson threw two of them last week, and actually not a bad matchup. The Titans, the number nine matchup for both quarterbacks and running backs, so I like Lamar. Obviously, I mean, you're going to use him as a quarterback one. You didn't draft him to be benching him at this point of the year, for sure. As far as the backfield is concerned, this is where things are a little interesting. So Mark Ingram has this little practice pattern. Sometimes we will see these practice patterns where a guy may go limited and then DNP, which is what we see out of him. Now, it was labeled as a non-injury DNP, so may have been a veteran's rest day. But if he goes DNP on Friday, that may not be, you know, that would indicate he's not playing. So just keep an eye on it for J.K. Dobbins' sake. Dobbins still should lead the backfield in snaps, but he's a really risky flex option if Ingram does play. If he doesn't play, though, I love Dobbins this week. I love Damian Harris this week in the New England-Houston game. Bill Belichick likes to run the football. The Texans are facing a league-high 27.7 rushing attempts per game. Yeah, the math just does itself right there, right? Houston allowing the most rushing yards per game, 153.9, and rushing yards per attempt, 5.56, to opposing running backs. So Harris may not do anything in the nothing in the passing game. Nothing. But it doesn't matter. He's an RB2. And I like Cam Newton this week. I'm starting him as a top 12 option. On the other side, Duke Johnson. He's their guy. He is the Texas David Montgomery. He's an RB2. It's just really boring. That's all it is. He's an RB2, but he's boring. A tougher matchup than you might realize for Deshaun Watson. The Patriots only allowing 235.4 net passing yards per game. Obviously, Watson's still a QB1, but it's just sometimes I throw these stats out there just so you're aware of them. I don't want to scare you away, but it's just so you're aware. It gives you more context of what could potentially play out, right? Miami, Denver, oh baby, Savon Ahmed, and this is a game where opposing backfields are averaging 4.26 yards per carry against Denver, so that's good for Ahmed. Matt Breida looks like he will be back, but I don't care. This is the MO of this team now. They find a guy, they use the guy, and Matt Breida is not the guy, and Ahmed was pretty decent last week. I mean, he wasn't as good as Myles Gaskin, but pretty decent. He's going to be used. He's an RB2. He's a top 24 play. On the other side, oh, man, 4.5 yards per carry is what the Dolphins are allowing, but Melvin Gordon is the Denver David Montgomery. It's boring. He has a top 15 carry since week 7. He's averaging 3.5 yards per carry. He's usable as an RB2, but it's boring AF. Jets and Chargers. Can we trust Kalen Ballage? Is it 2020? Kalen Ballage, he outsnapped Joshua Kelly 46-17. The Jets are the number 7 fantasy matchup. Ballage is a top 20 fantasy running. What the hell is happening? I mean, he's going to get that revenge. I mean, I guess it's technically a revenge game because wasn't he on the Jets for like a minute? Literally. But it's also revenge against the former coach there. And I love Justin Herbert in this matchup. By the way, anything can happen in 2020. The Jets almost look good on offense. They kind of did the last time we saw them, right? Joe Flacco slinging the rock. The Chargers are a plus matchup. I'm not starting Flacco. No, no thank you. Not even in two quarterback leagues. But I don't think that's a bad thing for Jamison Crowder. I like him this week as a, you know, really a wide receiver three plus. And I'm keeping an eye on LaMichael Perine. So the backfield is a good matchup. Chargers allow 4.92 rushing yards per attempt to opposing running backs. But this is also the audition, right, for next year. So do they, in fact, give him a larger workload? If they do, that's encouraging going forward. I am not using him as an RB2, LaMichael Perine. Not using him as an RB2. I would flex him. Not super desperation flex, but yeah, I'd flex him. I'm going to have to flex him because I don't have Joe Mixon in a league. But I'm not using him as an RB2. I would not talk myself into that. Green Bay, Indy, it's a tough matchup for Aaron Jones. It's a tough matchup for Aaron Rodgers. You start them regardless, but just be aware of that. And it does look like Devontae Adams is going to play. In terms of Robert Tonyan, the Colts are the only defense to not surrender a touchdown to tight ends this season. So, yeah. As far as the other side, I love the matchup for the backfield, right? Green Bay, second best fantasy matchup, 1.2 rushing scores per game allowed to running backs. But do you use Jonathan Taylor? Probably not, right? Do you use Jordan Wilkins? Sounds pretty risky, doesn't it? Do you use Nyheim Hines? Now, after last week, we look at it, we go, meh, maybe. And I think that's kind of, all right, he could be flexed, but I just don't want to trust that he's going to see more than two or three or four carries. That's the problem. Like, sure, last week we saw a little bit more than that, but you can't guarantee that with Nyheim Hines. So the matchup appealing, just a risky play. Just a risky play. Speaking of risky plays, they're all over the place in this Dallas-Minnesota game. On the Dallas side, I mean, I talked yesterday about Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb. Really risky to trust these guys with Andy Dalton under center. Ezekiel Elliott isn't as risky because he's a volume play, but he's nowhere near where he was to start the season. I think he's a fringe RB1, and it really comes down to that volume. That's what it's all about. Now, on the other side, the wide receivers are also risky. I went over that yesterday. It really comes down to Dalvin Cook. If this is a heavy Dalvin Cook day, it does not set up well for Thielen and Jefferson. I mean, just plainly, doesn't set up well for him. The one thing I did notice, though, so Dallas is one of the three teams who's seeing more than 26 rushing attempts by running backs per game. They are allowing 2.2 receiving scores per game, though. That's the third most, while only seeing 230.3 net passing yards per game, which is the sixth fewest. So, if anything, it could be still a low-volume passing day where Thielen and or Jefferson get in the end zone and you're just like, eh, all right, not too bad. So that's why I'm not totally scared away for season-long fantasy purposes. Kansas City and Vegas, Clyde Edwards-Helaire missed Thursday's practice with an illness. We are seeing this more and more. And here's basically what it means. I mean, if you have a cold, you are not allowed in the building. Even if it's not COVID, it's just a normal common cold, doesn't matter. Still can't go in the building. So we're seeing that more and more. We saw it with Duke Johnson. I'm not worried about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but it's also just a friendly reminder that Le'Veon Bell should be owned, because if CEH missed any time, Bell would be, he'd be an RB1. There's no doubt in my mind. This is a nice matchup for the passing game for these running backs. 8.7 targets per game against the Raiders is what opposing running backs are seeing. That's a league high. So Edwards-Helaire, solid RB2. I don't know about flexing Le'Veon Bell. That just feels too risky at this point. I mean, you may have to. I don't want to just simply assume, but right now he's like right on the edge of flex territory for me. It's a very risky play. On the other side, we know what the deal is. Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs. The Chiefs are actually a pretty good matchup for running backs. 4.6 yards per carry. So, you know, Jacobs is a borderline elite play this week, especially after what we've been seeing out of him. We're kind of seeing the Josh Jacobs we expected to see now. We saw at the very beginning of the season, then there was that little stretch there where we didn't get much from him. He's in our good graces for sure right now. And by the way, Devontae Booker, no thank you. No, thank you. He should be owned. He should not be started as a flex. Rams and Tampa Bay Buccaneers surrounded out. This is going to be an awesome defensive struggle. on Monday night. Two of the league's best defenses on the Bucs side. They're so good against the run. 3.04 yards per carry to opposing running backs. And we have no idea how the touches are going to be distributed. Here's how they were distributed last week in this backfield, the Rams backfield. Cam Akers, 10. Darrell Henderson, 8. Malcolm Brown, 8. So, yes, three-headed monster, which I don't like for fantasy purposes. If I had to start one of them as a flex, it would be Henderson. And you know what? I don't like it. Does not make me feel comfortable. I think that owning all of them, all three of them, not all three on one roster, but they all should be owned in fantasy leagues. But I don't feel it. I'm not confident at all starting them, especially in this matchup, especially given the committee. On the other side, the Rams surrender just one passing score per game, an average of one per game. That is the lowest in the league. They're super stingy, and you can't like that for Tom Brady. But he is Tom Brady, so that's why I said he's still back-end quarterback one. He's had a couple, like the New Orleans game, they had his number. But with all those weapons at his disposal in a favorable passing game, even a tough matchup, he could put some you know reasonably good numbers up in. So, you know, again, if you said Taysom Hill or Tom Brady, I just can't bring myself to start Taysom over Tom Brady. So that's why I'm ranking him. You know, a lot of that is with the ranking process for me, I talk about it very often. I start with projections, and then I go through the projections, and I say, would I play this guy over this guy? Would I play this guy? And there's a little bit of subjectivity, of course. There's rankings ultimately come down to a bit of an art form. And yes, I mean, hey, it's subjective, but I'm also using all the information at my disposal from all the darn research that I'm doing to make those decisions, right? So I would say, in most instances, though, I don't move from rankings or from projections that dramatically. It's probably like 80% of rankings, or maybe even larger than that. Some weeks I'll run them and I'll be like, yeah, these are pretty good. I'm just going to keep them as is for now. Ronald Jones coming off of a really good performance last week, obviously, but this is a polar opposite matchup. Opposing backfields averaging just 3.98 yards per carry against the Rams. Jones is still an RB2. I don't love him this week, but when I look at some of the matchups, you know, he's a top 24 guy. He's right there at 24 for me right now. So I still would use him based on volume, but that's about it. And that's about it for the show today. So in the meantime, you could do me a favor. Go stop by ftnfantasy.com. Our subscription right now is $20. $20 gets you straight on through the Super Bowl, and here's the deal. What do you get with it? You get the rankings, the projections, all that fun stuff that you would expect. Behind-the-scenes access to some of our premium articles, including the report from yours truly. But also, it's the tools, man. You get access to the Splits app, which I think is freaking phenomenal. You get wide receiver, cornerback. You get a lot of great data, the advanced DVP tool. I mean, $20. And you could use some of this stuff beyond season-long fantasy football. It's well worth the price of admission. Go on over to ftnfantasy.com and check that out. Also, keep reviewing the podcast. We're going to have a little celebration since it's Thanksgiving next week. I'm just going to throw that out there, okay? We'll just have a little celebration for the reviews. That's not an official announcement of anything. Just throwing that out there since it's a holiday week. But if you haven't reviewed the podcast or you have no clue what I'm talking about right there. So we wanted to get to 1,000. And by we, I really just mean me. I guess all of my team at Sawdust, the Sawdust Podcast Network, wanted to get to 1,000. But I really did. And you, the Rat Pack, helped me get there. So we're going to celebrate that eventually, maybe sometime. But I still want more because more gives us more exposure. So if you haven't reviewed the show already, it's really easy to do, especially if you use an iPhone. All you have to do is open up the podcast app on your iPhone, go to My Podcast, The Rant, and scroll to the bottom and click the stars. You can also do it on the web if you search out The Rant with Jeff Ratcliffe, and you could, I believe, type in iTunes as well, and it'll pop up pretty easily. You'll find it. Huge, 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 humongous big help. Appreciate you. Appreciate you, Rat Pack. I see you at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. Use the hashtag RatPack. That way I know you're a listener of the show. And I appreciate you. I appreciate you. All right. Enjoy week 11. Enjoy it. I'll catch you on the flip side on Monday for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out of here.